Hallelujah. And we're going to have a Bible study now. So let's sing hymn number 69. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth you have for me. Place in my hand the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now, I wait on thee. The truth today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. While we remain standing, let's pick a text. Romans chapter 13 and 1 verse 11. For a text, and we continue where we stopped last Sunday. Romans chapter 13, verse 11, for a text. Apostle Paul says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. God bless you. Be seated. We've been taking this series. You notice there are two books we have stayed so long on. The book of Revelation, we took so many weeks because we had to go almost verse by verse, line by line, from the first chapter to the last chapter. And a lot of things exposed there that we should know. And now, for the past services, we have also been taking the book of Daniel. The book of Revelation is a divine agenda of God, given to Apostle John. The book of Daniel is also a divine agenda given to Daniel. And the two of them corroborate the same thing, but Apostle John was giving more light. Even Daniel himself, each chapter was more light given to him. More light, more light, more light given to him. It's so important that we take time to know this, because salvation is an agenda of God. And knowing how the program is, you'll be able to know when scripture is being fulfilled. You'll be able to know where God is now in His agenda, the time He is now as far as salvation is concerned. It will not last forever. It will be for a period. It started one day, it will end one day. We are not just serving a God and then blindly. No. Concerning salvation, it is a mystery. I have been stressing this thing. He encoded it. And that is why everything that has to do with salvation is there in symbols or in parables. And unless He, the encoder Himself, comes to decode it for you, you will just be a religious person. But we will not be religious. Hallelujah. It's important. If you notice what Peter was telling the church in 2 Peter chapter 1 concerning what we call the stature of perfection. He says, first you have the faith. The faith that you have is the Christian faith. Now when you give your life to Christ, that is the faith. Then he says, add to that faith 7 things. Add to that faith. Until you add these 7 things to that faith, amen, you are not yet perfect. And yet the Father says, Jesus Himself said, that be ye perfect. Perfection is a commandment. Perfection is, hallelujah, is a requirement. And let me tell you, concerning the bride of Jesus Christ, concerning those who will go in the rapture, nobody will be managed there. No matter how merciful God is, nobody is going to be managed there. No. That's why there is a period for perfection. We must be perfected. And the process of perfection is a first to that faith is a add virtue. What is virtue? Virtue there is make your religion, your Christian faith, your profession to be attractive. Hallelujah. Make it to be attractive. Then add knowledge. If you don't add knowledge, then you'll be among those who will be coming to the Lord, to the God of Israel, and you want to come anyhow with the gospel of it doesn't matter. Things that matter, they tell you it doesn't matter because you have no knowledge. And secondly, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You'll just be destroyed. You'll be worshipping the Antichrist and thinking you're worshipping Christ. You'll be worshipping the ministers of Satan because 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says Satan has his ministers. And you'll be coming under the minister of Satan, may be your pastor. And you will think that you are under a minister of Christ. Knowledge, therefore, is important. And that's why we take so much time in this ministry on the word. We take so much time. For ye shall know the truth. And it is the truth, you know, that determine your faith, your standing in Christ. And I've spoken so much, and we saw that out of 70 weeks, and those weeks are weeks of years, you're hearing me for the first time, 69 weeks have been already spent in that agenda, and it's now for God to complete that 70 weeks, 1 week is left. But between the 69th week, after the 69th week, the dealing of God with Israel was suspended for the purpose of salvation, not his covenant, for purpose of salvation. His covenant stands forever with Israel. But for the purpose of salvation, Apostle Paul says, blindness in part, verse 25 of Romans chapter 11, has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentile be come in. And the fullness of the Gentile here takes place between that 69th week, and it will be completed in the rapture, and then he will come back to Israel to complete activities that he himself has lined up within the last 1 week or 7 years that he allotted to the Jews to complete the 70 weeks. 70 times 7. The weeks there is weeks of years. 1 week is 7 years. 70 weeks is 70 times 7. Praise the Lord. And so, we are looking at what happens between the 69th week and the 70th week, last week Sunday. And where we stopped was that we emphasized so many things, among others, that this is the period for the Gentile dispensation. And that this period is a period that, since he was rejected by the Jews, he turned to the Gentiles, like we saw in Acts chapter 13, in fulfillment of scriptures, of prophecy, that of another mystery being unfolded, that is also a mystery because the Gentiles, who we are called dogs, even by Christ himself, now come into the commonwealth of Israel and occupy even a higher position than Israel. It is a period where another queen is selected for the king because the original queen rejected the call of the king, disobeyed the king. And the king had to put her off, as we see in the book of Esther, chapters 1 and 2. And I told you, that is where we understand also the mystery of the Church of Jesus Christ dividing into denominations. And every denomination is claiming they are the wife of Jesus Christ. But at the end, we saw how Esther qualified. And the same criteria that Esther qualified will be the same criteria that the bride of Jesus Christ will qualify in every age. We saw that the gospel was divided into, the salvation of the Gentiles, the dealing with the Gentiles, the Gentile dispensation was divided into seven different periods, different dispensations known as the seven church ages, given symbolically through those seven churches in Asia Minor, in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. And each of those seven churches had an angel to every church, speaking about the seven church ages. Each age had an angel, or known as a star messenger, which is the group of stars that were in the right hand of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 16, given interpretation in verse 20, Revelation chapter 1. And those churches were represented by those seven candlesticks depicting each church age. And each age had a star messenger, and we are also in the seven church age, and there is also a star messenger for this age, giving a message to every age, every church age, the bride in every age. And this is made clearer and clearer, what I'm saying, in the Bible. Like I said, the story of Esther and the king Ahasuerus and the queen Vashti. We also see this, all this takes place between the 69th week and the 70th week. For now, the 70th week is not yet in operation. For now, God is rounding up with the Gentiles, because we are now in the seventh church age. Concerning this gospel coming to us, in explaining this mystery, please, we shall read some scriptures. We'll read some scriptures. There are things we should know. Praise the Lord. One little thing can open up so many other scriptures you didn't know before, even to you. And in Matthew chapter 22, he brought out a picture there. Matthew chapter 22, we're going to read from verse 1 up to verse 20. This was Jesus Christ speaking about this same mystery. What did he say? And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And who is that king? The Father himself. Who is that son? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, amen, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Does that not give a picture of what was going on between Ahasuerus and Vashti, King Ahasuerus and Queen Vashti? But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. That's what they were doing to the disciples. But when the king, God himself, heard thereof, he was angry, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their cities. When did that take place? AD 70, and God said they are his armies. Sometimes that which tormenting you, now God's servant. Hallelujah. Sometimes that your neighbor tormenting you is God's servant to deal with his child. Verse 8. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidding, we are not worthy. Is that not what Apostle Paul spoke in Acts chapter 13 to those Jews? Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find. You see now, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both good and both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with the guests. Both armed robbers, both ritual killers, both occultic people, both prostitutes and fornicators, all of them, they went and beat them. He said, and the bad, and the good, the bad and the good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There are some of us here, we are the bad. Abi Zoe, are you not among the bad? Among the bad now? Me and you. If people know, they know my own, they never know your own. We are waiting. When you are 60 years, we shall hear your own. Praise the Lord. Now, that's the truth. Amen. That's why it is called grace. That's why it is called grace. Now, the good there are those who were already very moral. In my former church, one of my brothers one day came to give testimony and said, there is really nothing Christianity has added to his character. He said, because he never smoked, he never chased women, he never lied. He hated all these things. And he was never believed in juju. He just believed in being good to everybody around. And I know him very closely, and truly that is who he is. And he was a chartered accountant, a very brilliant person that made first class in the university. And then the youngest, 2 years after, he was a chartered accountant already. And he was working, and he will not steal one couple. And don't come and lie to him. And don't come and connive with him. And he came with a Rastafarian. Somebody I used to know from Switzerland now. He used to work in the Air Force. And somehow he got tired. He wanted to leave. I helped him when I was in service. Facilitated his traveling. So for years I didn't hear of him again. I didn't know he was a superstar now in Switzerland, a big musician. And he came to Nigeria, he came to visit me with dreadlocks. He was looking for who knows me, and he located that young man who knew where I was living and came to see me. And when he came with his dreadlocks, he was now a Rastafarian. Amen. I was talking with him. Years back, that was a very long time ago. And they visited me, and I was preaching to him. What are you doing? I'm now a Christian. I'm no more in the Air Force. You left the Air Force, you are a Rastafarian. Me, I left the Air Force, I'm a preacher. And then I was talking about Jesus. Then the guy said, man, me, no, Jesus, man. I ja. I say you will ja. Ja means pull in Hausa. I said, you will ja to hell. Well, why I remember it is, while I was speaking to that man, I didn't know the Holy Ghost was using what I was talking to this young man. And when we finished, he said, please, sir, uncle, where is your church? And I gave him the address. He followed me to my church. And that is how he believed the message. And so he's testifying that there is nothing Christianity has added to his character. And I came after he spoke. I said, therefore, the brother that just gave testimony now, I was not a minister, I was just an ordinary church member, it was testimony time. So because of what he said, me, I decided to give testimony, me too. I said, then you will never understand grace. I said, you here, you already were having self-righteousness. You see, so the way we will appreciate the cross, you will not appreciate the cross that way. See what you are saying now? That Christianity did not add anything to your character. But as you see me so, hey! Amazing grace, how sweet
the sound that saves a wretch like me. Once was lost, I was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
Such God cannot use that brother as an evangelist. It will only be me that God can use, people like me, I mean, my kind of character, to evangelize. Because I can go to the sinner and tell you there is a better place than that. I was there before. Hallelujah. I can go to anywhere and tell them, I was there before. I was there before. It's vanity. There's no peace there. But there is peace and contentment in
serving the Lord.
I have confirmed it. That is what that parable is saying. And that's where I find myself. Both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Because it's not just that you come, there is a dress you are supposed to put on. And that garment, Revelation chapter 2 tells us, is the righteousness of the saints. Hallelujah. There is a garment that you are supposed to put on to cover your shame. There is a garment that everyone that comes for that wedding, you are supposed to put on, that identifies that you are invited. If you are invited, there is a garment that will be given to you. Praise God. If you are invited to this feast, there is a garment that will be given to you. And who is the one that will give you that garment? We saw it last week. It's the chamberlain. It's the chamberlain that will give you that garment. And he said unto him, verse 12, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. That is the tribulation period. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are choosing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we saw that between the first, the 69th week and the 70th week, that God Himself dividing the period of grace into seven church ages, and He called it the building of His church, His dwelling place. He said, I will build my church. Take note. He didn't say, I will build my churches. Correct? Are we together? He didn't say, I will build my churches. What did he say? I will build my church. One church is a spiritual house. It's a spiritual building, which is typed by Solomon's temple. That was built. For the Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament. The physical Israel speaks of the spiritual Israel. Hallelujah. The spiritual nation of Israel. Hallelujah. We are also a royal priesthood. We also belong to a nation. Amen. We belong to a nation. And while on earth here, we are in this world, but not of this world. Jesus, the Bible calls us, we are ambassadors for Christ. For we are representative of another nation. We are not therefore to mix ourselves too far with where we are now in this world. For our kingdom is not of this world. And so the life we live is supposed to depict where we are coming from. The way we dress depicts our uniqueness. Hallelujah. If you see an Indian man by his dress without asking him, you can say that is an Indian man. Oh yes, and that is why we have what we call traditional rulers. And anywhere a traditional ruler knows he's going for any public function, he puts on a dress that when you see him, it will depict where he is coming from. And so also, if we catch this revelation, then you won't have problem when you hear the Holy Spirit teaching you how to dress. But the question I always have, and that is another mystery that God will help us to explain is that why does he specifically speak to some people to stop doing other things, some things, and the same people in the same church, in the same setting, he will not talk to them even though they are acting the way they are acting? Why will he see his child misbehaving, fornicating, stealing, lying, and he will deal with you? But another one is doing the same thing, and they are all in the same group in the church. They may all be ministers, give their brethren, full of anointing, but one, once you tried, you are finished. Another one, nothing is happening. There is a mystery about it. So that you understand why he said many are called, but few are chosen. There is a qualification for it. So the answer is simple. Why? There are some people that have the spirit of Cain in them. Even when God himself comes to talk to them, they will not change. And God knows them, so he doesn't waste time with them. But there are some, let them just be sure it is God talking to them, they will repent, cry, drop the nonsense. But others, they will stand and argue, what does he got to do? You know what is inside? So he will leave you. That's the truth. The young girl I was referring to during the week from Spain, he said, when she was rejecting what her father was doing, watching this ministry on the bright television, on the net, she was, because she was pissed out with what had happened before, and then, you know, didn't want to hear anything, went back to the world, dressing miniskirts, painting and wearing everything, even going to nightclub. But nightclub didn't belong. Amen. Nightclub didn't belong to her. She's a seed of God. You had Elvis Smart last Friday. Frustration drove him to go and wait in the nightclub till morning, like in Singapore, in the days of his struggle, man must survive. And he said he went to nightclub. He said suddenly they were in the nightclub, they were dancing music, teacher is playing music, suddenly maybe technical something, they didn't stop. Then he started, praise the Lord! Before he said, it came out. That was the Holy Ghost telling you, the spirit in you is not for this. The spirit in you is to praise the Lord. And shame caught him. Because everybody turned and looked at him. A stranger is among us. And that is how it's supposed to be. Anywhere you are, people are supposed to know you are a stranger. You are a stranger to that type of lifestyle. You're a stranger to that type of group. Even the way you behave, you can't fit in. It's a different spirit in you. But what I'm referring to, that sister said, she came and had her father holding his tablet, you know, moving with him. Doesn't want to miss anything. Go to toilet with him, peace with him, come back. And then he was coming up, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. Maybe he was hearing a sermon going on. And he was saying, which one be this one again? Which one be this? He said she went in to sit down in her bedroom. He said a hand squeezed the ear. Physically. Very painful, according to her, she was telling me. The hand squeezed, and she was saying, what is this? And then she started saying, okay, Lord, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. Then the tears stopped. Then she came out of the room and asked the daddy, daddy, what are you watching? Hallelujah. I know the father is here. The father is here, correct? The father is sitting over there. Eh? Do you remember when it ever happened? She was telling me her testimony, Brother Osakwe. Brother Osakwe, it's your daughter I'm talking about. Do you remember that ever happened?
Sir.
You remember?
Yes, sir.
It happened in Verona, in Italy. Now, I'm just saying, see the extent God went to call her attention to something that has life. And that is when it started. And that is how God used it to arrest her. And some other experiences. But why are others not having that type of relationship so much until God can follow you? Some it may not be here. Some it may just be your peace that He will take away from you. Some it may just be some difficulty, even sickness. He can even use sickness. He has various ways of calling the attention of His people. But once they are sure something is of God, they follow. Seven church ages. A period to build his house and dwell there. King Solomon built his temple. How long did Solomon use to build that temple? 7 years to build the house of God. And Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, you read it up to verse 22. Let's get a picture there. Ephesians chapter 2, 19. Ephesians. It says, now therefore, see the language that is used. It's a language of revelation. You are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And we are built upon the foundation of the prophets, of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. See the language now. We read it up to verse 22. In whom, that Jesus Christ now, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for what? For an habitation of God through the Spirit. We are a spiritual house, a spiritual temple, a spiritual building that God is building for his habitation. And like Solomon's temple, a type is going to use seven church ages in building that spiritual temple. Solomon's temple was built by materials from all over the world. And this temple called the church will also be built by members from all over the world. And it will be finished building in 7 years, 7 dispensations, and then the glorification will come up. Hallelujah. After 7 years, the temple of Solomon was taken over by the glory of God. And so also it is that after the seventh church age, at the end of the seventh church age, the rapture takes place. Praise the Lord. And see a beautiful type in Jude, verse 14. He referred to Enoch. He said, Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Adam, the beginning. After Adam, then Seth, then count them like that. And Adam was the seventh, Enoch was the seventh. And we know that Enoch lived a life pleasing before God. Enoch didn't die. Enoch was raptured. The seventh from Adam raptured. They're telling us that the rapture will take place in the seventh church age. These are facts we have here and here that confirm, this great agenda. Like I was saying, even our personal salvation goes through seven stages. Add to your faith. That's what 2 Peter chapter 1, read it up to verse, chapter 5 up to verse 9. And it says, add to your faith virtue, then knowledge, then temperance, then patience, then godliness, then brotherly kindness and charity. Seven. When you are able to grow to that level, step by step, and we have taken this here several times, we shall continue to take it again, especially those of us who take the Sunday school. Praise the Lord.